What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. Today, we're on episode 59, and we're talking about the origin of Christianity. In this series called Church Detox, we've been going over many of the things you've been taught that weren't true, and this all stems from Christianity. And so we're going to talk about why Christianity has taught you all these lies and things like that, and talk about the actual origin of it. And so I'm going to just pull up an article that I wrote several years ago, which was part of a series called The Secret of Racism. And inside that series, there was another sub-series called Racism and Religion, and how religion played a part in slavery, popes, and so-called men of God who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ initiated the slave trade. They went and got black folks from Africa and put them on ships and raped them, robbed them, beat them, manipulated them, and made them work and build America and many other countries around the world. And so I'm going to just read this article here called Racism and Religion Part 2, The Origin of Christianity. So let's get into it. It starts off with a scripture here. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and it reads, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." I'm reading the scripture because I want you to understand that the term Christians, if you're calling yourself a Christian today, was given to you by people on the outside. The scriptures tell us that the followers of Jesus Christ were called Christians by outsiders, but they never initially called themselves that. They got the name because they acted like Christ. They actually called themselves followers of Jesus Christ or disciples of Christ. Collectively, they called themselves the church. Some people even say that or claim that Christian was actually a term that was mocking the followers of Christ. So this is something to consider. The word church, translated from the Greek word ecclesia, means the called out assembly. In other words, the church is a congregation of believers who God had called out of the world of darkness into the marvelous light, as mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9. Some even believe the word church is a mistranslation and should be translated assembly. Nevertheless, these are the terms we're familiar with, and so we use them today. Obviously, something went wrong with the church because both the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Church today look nothing like Christ and too much like the wicked world we see. On top of that, the Catholic Church has a history of forcing their religion on entire nations and killing them if they rejected it. Certainly, Christ never commanded this. This is a God of free will. Anything else is inspired by Satan. So what happened? First off, so-called Christianity, because we already know that that wasn't what we were called, came out of the nation of Israel, from the tribe of Judah, by the Son of God known as Jesus Christ. At that time, Jews, or what they were called, the Israelites that were in Judea, were under Roman rule. Rome was, and still is, a false god-worshipping nation, practicing all kinds of wickedness, from idolatry, witchcraft, bestiality, homosexuality, fornication, to pedophilia, and child sacrifice. They believed in many gods, while Christianity, what we call it today, only believed in one God. The Apostle Paul was the first to bring the gospel to Rome, and when it began to spread, the believers were persecuted. For more than 300 years, the church was persecuted by Rome. It was illegal to be a Christian. Saints were arrested, beaten, crucified, and often burned alive for following the teaching of Jesus. But no matter what the Roman government did, the message of eternal life and peace with God prevailed. The enemies of God could not hinder the gospel. It spread like wildfire. It turned the world right side up. The killing of Christians actually helped grow the church. Satan, who was behind the persecution, found that his methods weren't working, so he came up with another plan. In 13 AD, Roman Emperor Constantine legalized Christian worship and made it the official religion of Rome. Constantine also supposedly converted to Christianity. It seemed as if Christianity had prevailed, but this was the move of Satan. Constantine, while claiming to be Christian, also appeased the people of his nation by mixing the teachings of Jesus with the practices of Rome. He continued to worship false gods while claiming to serve Jesus Christ. He also encouraged Christians and non-Christians to unite in worshiping the Son. Not the Son of God, the actual Son in the sky. This is why Christians meet and worship on the first day of the week, also known as Sunday. What happened to the Assembly of God was pollution, the filth of Rome mixed with some of the teachings of Jesus, and Christianity became something entirely different from its origin. There's a saying that goes, if you can't beat them, join them. And so that's exactly what Satan did. He joined the church, thus destroying it with practices like the worship of Mary, which is idolatry. God says worship him and only him. Another practice was consulting and praying to the dead, which is called necromancy. So they were saying that, oh, you can talk to dead Paul and dead Peter and all these different dead saints. That's necromancy. And if you did find some kind of contact with these dead souls, it was really just a demon behind that. And this is what they were used to doing anyway. Another practice they had was the worship of the sun, as I mentioned before. Another practice was indulgence, the salvation of the soul through monetary payment. This is just a straight up scam. For some people who said, you know what, my dead loved one, I want them to be in heaven. Well, you could go to the priest and give them money and they'll pray and they'll say, now your dead loved one is going to heaven. So that's a scam. Ain't nowhere in the Bible where you can just pay somebody and get into heaven. Okay. There's another belief they had that good works would save your soul. And that's still being communicated today, not only in the Catholic Church, but also in the Protestant Church as well. That's a deception. We talked about that in full detail. Your good works cannot save you. They're like filthy rags. Another practice was the prohibiting a priest from marrying. So you got nuns who can't get married, and we have certain priests who can't get married. All right? That's unbiblical. You know, if a man is called to be married, he should get married, no matter what his status is in a religious organization. Okay? But they're cutting off the basic needs of a human being. Another thing they did was force the religion on others with death as the only alternative for rejecting it. So they would pull up into your town and say, everybody gonna be Christian now. No matter what these people believe, you gonna be Christian. And they say, well, no, we ain't gonna be Christian. And they say, we're killing all y'all then. So you're either gonna convert or you're gonna die. See, this is unbiblical. Another thing that's unbiblical is the office and authority of the Pope. There is no Pope in the Bible. All right. And this guy also had the power to change scripture to say, well, the Bible don't say that now and I can overwrite the Bible. This is crazy. And then finally, they continue to practice till this day, child abuse, child sexual abuse. They're molesting these children. These grown men and grown women are going around touching these boys and these little girls and sexually assaulting them and molesting them. Having sex with them. Manipulating them and hurting them and abusing them. This is ungodliness. This is wickedness. It goes on to say, with the church now, something totally different from its origin, what used to be known as a move of God had become a move of Satan. What the Apostle Paul feared and warned came to pass when he said in 2 Corinthians 11:3-4, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And that's what some of the saints began to do, or the people who said they were followers of God. They begin to bear and to accept this other Jesus, this other spirit, and this other gospel. They were beguiled, and they begin to accept this. This is another Jesus. Jesus is not about molesting children, paying your way out of hell or the lake of fire, all this stupid stuff. He's not about all that, but they had accepted that, okay? Not everybody, but some of them. Satan was successful in convincing some of the saints that this new form of Christianity was legitimate, but the rest didn't buy it. They knew this was a counterfeit. They had spiritual discernment, and they took heed to the letter of Revelations that warned of the coming harlot church. So those who didn't accept Roman Christianity were persecuted and killed. Here's a part of what the saints of God heard back then. It says in Revelation 17:4-6, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. All right. So he mentions a bunch of stuff that just gives away the Catholic Church. The purple and scarlet are the signature colors of the cardinals and the bishops. The golden cup is often used in rituals in their worship centers, especially Vatican City. They're all decked out in gold. The Catholic Church is truly Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. As we know that she also, the Catholic Church, killed a bunch of saints when they realized that, hey, this new form of Christianity is not legitimate. This is not of God. So I believe, based off this scripture and based off of the just how the Catholic Church operates, this is the mother of harlots. This is the harlot church described in the book of Revelations. And it never died. It's increasing. Its power decreased a little bit, but it never died. Okay, it rose to power after Jesus died and rose again 300 years later. They were already warned about this. So that's why I believe that the Roman Catholic Church is what the mother of harlots is all about. And some will say it's a city. It's a city. Well, as the scriptures say, it is a city. And there's a city in the Roman Catholic Church called the Vatican City. There's your city right there. So a lot of people say, you know, the Roman Catholic Church or the mystery Babylon, mother of harlots, is America. You know, I don't believe so. I believe it's Vatican City. It's the Roman Catholic Church system, the entire religious system. So that's my belief on that. Nevertheless, these are the origins of Christianity. Initially, it was the teaching of Jesus. He was going around teaching people the ways of God, with the giving light to the Old Testament. And then you have accounts of Jesus, which are the Gospels. And then after that, you have people who heard the word of God and were called by God to give understanding to the church, people who formed around the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those people wrote letters, and that's how you got the rest of the Bible. So Paul wrote a lot of letters, and they ended up in the book, which we call the Bible. And so we have this entire Bible, which forms the teachings of God. All right. So that's it. That's the origin of it. Now, we continue on. But before we do that, later on, the popes of Roman Catholic Church denounced their involvement in the transatlantic slave trade. Okay. They said that ain't right what we did, you know, X, Y, Z. But there are numerous atrocities of torturing and slaughtering individuals and entire nations who rejected their religion, and the current abuse of children, which goes on to this very day, can't be overlooked. So you have to always remember what they did. Okay. Then they may say that ain't right. We was wrong for doing that. We was wrong for slavery. We was wrong for, you know, going around killing everybody who didn't accept our religion. But you have to understand that if that's what they're doing, how was that of God in the begin with? If they're saying that they're the original church, they're from God, how is it that that was God in the to ever begin with? You have to look at it like that. And so the Roman Catholic Church is not of God. It never was of God. It's, like I said, a mixture. As we look at, you read up on Constantine, Roman Constantine, the Emperor Constantine, who took the teachings and mixed them. And he said he was a Christian. He's a follower of God now. Yet he's worshiping all the false gods too. This ain't right. It's not right. So let's continue on, because something happened in the midst of all of this. In 1517, things seemed to change when priests within the Catholic Church began to realize their religion didn't line up with the Bible they were reading. This caused a great split, and the Protestant Reformation was born. So they say that they are Catholic Christians and they are Protestant Christians. Protestant comes from the word protest. So a bunch of Catholic priests started reading their Bible, and they said, you know what, this don't line up with what's going on. And they protested, and they posted the 95 Theses on the door of the Catholic Church. This is the beginning of the Reformation movement. So in 95 different things, they found that the church, so-called, you know, Church of God was teaching. And they said, this ain't right. This is what the Bible says. We don't agree with this. And a lot of stuff was like nepotism. There was all a bunch of stuff. Some of the stuff I already mentioned, you know, they came against it and said, this ain't right. But we continue on and we see here that these guys were already on the wrong path, because they were trying to reform something that was never created by God to begin with. So they call it, what their movement is, the Reformation. Reform is to take something that's already in existence, mold it into something else. All right? So the problem with these guys and the Reformation as a whole is that they were taking something that was filthy. It's like taking a bunch of crap. He's going and finding some doo-doo a dog just dropped, some fresh doo-doo, and molding it into something else and saying, now it's better. No, it's still crap. You see what I'm saying? And so these men didn't know their history. They didn't understand that this whole thing is not of God to begin with. Christ established the church, and Satan and men retook what Christ had, changed it, did something else to it, polluted it. It became something totally different. And now these men come along and say, I don't agree with what's going on here. And they took that same chunk of mess. Because you can't mix Jesus with anything else and say that it's pure now. So what Satan did was create something totally new. So you got the true saints and the true church on one end. And on the other end, you have Catholicism, this new form of Christianity, or the teachings of Jesus mixed with Roman pagan god worship and all that stuff. All right. I applaud these men for seeing their errors in Catholicism, but there was no need to reform it. All they had to do was discard it and completely hit the reset button, get born again, and follow the Bible with fresh eyes. That's all these men had to do. But see, they liked some of the elements of Roman Catholicism. Okay, that's their problem. So you got to look at these different guys here. Martin Luther, John Calvin. You look at these guys' lives, you look at what they taught, you'll see a bunch of error. So it's like, what's happening? Are these guys really born again? No, they're not. They're just Roman Catholic priests who are upset with their employment in a religion. Okay, anytime you got religion that's ran by men, there's going to be people upset with it because men are running it. It's not ran by God. There's no unity and no flow in that. And so what happens is men get upset and they say, you know what, I'm going to break off and do my own thing. And so that's where you get all these denominations from. Okay, initially they was just, we all Protestants, we're going to be separate. So it was just two denominations of this false Christianity. All right, there was the Catholic Church, and then you had the Protestant Church. Now within the Protestant Church, they became to have divisions. And so what really happened was, you know, men began to have their own private interpretation of the Bible. And so one guy thinks that babies should be dipped in water, while another man thinks you could just sprinkle them, and then they divide over that. And it just keeps dividing, dividing, dividing. And so this is one of the tactics of the enemy, to divide and conquer. So we don't have unity now, even in the Protestant church, because of what Satan did. Okay, because primarily men were not born again. Like I said, these are just regular cats. These were Roman Catholic priests who didn't get born again. They didn't throw out entire teachings of the Roman Catholics. They just kept some of them and just threw out the stuff they didn't like. That's how most churches are built today. When you find a church that says, I'm greater XYZ church, they came from way from one church and then it's greater church now. That's the same thing. Somebody in the church didn't like what was being taught. They kept the other elements and threw out the rest and started a new church. That's what happened with the Protestant movement. All right. So a lot of people say, well, the Protestant movement is really the answer to the Catholic Church. You know, they got it right. No, they didn't. Because look at the Protestant churches today. They're a hot mess. These are some of the denominations. We got Adventists. We got Anabaptists. We got Baptists. We got Charismatics. We got the Evangelicals. We got the Holiness denomination, the Methodist denomination, the Pentecostals, the Presbyterians, the Church of God in Christ, the Episcopal Church. We got the Assemblies of God. They like to use the original name, but they not even right with God, okay? And according to the Center of the Study of Global Christianity, at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, there are approximately 41,000 Protestant denominations today. And this is including, you know, different nationalities and stuff, because the same denomination can like break off because they're just black people. Like there's the AME, African Methodist Episcopal. It's all these different denominations and the variations of the denomination and stuff like that. So that's where they get this number from. But it might be just less than that. But overall, it's so many denominations because there's a lack of the Holy Spirit amongst these people, and they can't unify. It should have just been a Protestant church, and they should have just said, we're going back to the old ways. We're going to get the Bible out and read it for ourselves from and hit the reset button. You know, they didn't do that. And so they're just wicked. They just as wicked as their mother. And I'm going to expose to you, that the Roman Catholic Church is the mother of harlots, as I said before. Currently, there's a movement called the Ecumenical Movement, if I'm pronouncing that right, where they're basically stating everybody needs to come back to Mother Church. This is the Roman Catholic Church talking to the Protestant Church, saying, won't you come back home? You came from us, need to come back home. We need to be unified. We need to be one church. Now, along with this movement, they're also incorporating other religions, like they're bringing in Islam. They're bringing in all kind of stuff. And this is the great movement that's going to be right up under Rome, where it's just all these false guys. You can do whatever you want, just as long as you pay homage to Rome. And this is the Roman Catholic Church. This is the mother of harlots. This abomination that says you can worship anything. You can do whatever you want. They have a flavor for everything. This is what's happening. And eventually, there's going to be one big religion called the Roman Catholic Church. And then it's going to be the righteous on the other side. And you'll see what's going to happen. They're going to kill us. That's what's going to happen. They're going to kill the righteous. But I want to be clear. Throughout all of this, there were real saints in the midst of all of this. Because there were truths within there. The gospel message is still true. The thing about it was they were preaching the gospel. People were hearing it. Some of them were getting saved. And then they go to religion and then they get choked up. Okay. The other people said, you know what? I got born again, but what I'm hearing now and the environment that I'm living in is not right. And so they leave. And that's what many of us are doing now. You know, I got born again. I was in the false church system, the harlot Roman Catholic church system, or a daughter of the Roman Catholic church system, which is a Protestant church, for about 7 years. And then I realized this is all foolishness. None of this is of God. The people are not born again. This is wickedness. So, you know, God still used this movement, even though it was wicked, because there were truths in there, but he just pulled his people out. And like I mentioned before about leaving church and why he lets people go into a false church is to test them. Do you want this counterfeit Jesus Christ, or do you want the real one? So he will give you the gospel. You will get born again. And then he waits and sees if you're going to accept the truth or you're going to stay with the wickedness. You see? So that's how that worked. I'm going to continue reading. Let's keep going on here. So continue on. They walk and talk like Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the real saints now. They walk and talk like Jesus Christ of the Bible. They may belong to a denomination or they may not. They may or may not attend or be members of an official church building. They reject the teachings of the Catholic Church and their daughters. They are the minority. They are scattered and they are persecuted for Christ's sake. And so if you're a real saint, you continue to be persecuted because you are a real saint. And you're already going to be mistreated by the so-called Christians out there. So that's how you know. Putting a label on it is the next heading here. And it says, this mainstream wicked form of Christianity has so many labels. And this is what we, the people of God, has called it. One in particular is Catholicism. This is a name that they call themselves, though. Another one we call it is pagan Christianity. Roman Christianity. Churchianity is a big one that we call it. Christendom is a label that they call it. The false church, the harlot church, Babylon church, or the Babylonian church, the pagan church, the institutional church, and then the Catholic church is what they call themselves. This is the origins. These are the origins, man. While most Protestant Christians believe they're different from the Catholic Christians, their immorality and hatred for the truth exposes the contrary. So once again, if you're part of any of these assemblies or any amount of time. You've seen what's going on there. And this is crazy. These people are not of God. Okay, the Bible calls the Catholic Church the Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots. Since she's the mother of harlots and Protestant churches sprung out from her, they are her children indeed, even though they're currently estranged. So a lot of Protestant churches will say, we have nothing to do with the Catholic Church. I'm not going back. I'm not a part of that. But you are. If you're practicing the teachings of Satan, if you're doing the things that are contrary to the word of God, you are. Okay. And soon at the family reunion, those who accept Mama's invitation will reveal themselves to be a part of her. So like I said, there's an ecumenical movement. Everybody come on back. The Pope is saying, come on back. Protestant churches want you to come on back. If your church is taking on Roman Catholic rituals and talking about returning to the Mother Church or Rome, your Protestant church is a daughter of the Harlot Church or the Catholic Church. Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots. All right. And we've seen this already. You look at Church of God in Christ. You look at some of these churches, and they start wearing the backwards collars like the priests at the Catholic Church. They start dressing up like them. They start having little ceremonies like the Catholic Church, stuff that you didn't used to do. And it's like, why y'all start acting like Catholics now? Because they're going back, okay? They're children of a harlot, okay? This brings me to what we call ourselves. What should we call ourselves? Those of us who have been called out, the real saints of God. Having been a part of the Harlot Church for about 7 years, I no longer call myself a Christian. I do this for the world's sake. I don't want them confusing me with a religion that has shown consistently to be hypocritical, a part of the world's problems, and powerless to change anything for the good. However, I do respect any person who calls himself a Christian, and I can understand why they'd hold on to this label. But if the Pope, the Mormon, the Jehovah's Witness, and wicked people are calling themselves Christians, I refuse to share that label. And I don't believe Jesus Christ would be offended having never labeled his followers in the first place. Like I said, they were first called Christians in Antioch. They were called Christian. They never called themselves that. And so I have no problem getting rid of that label and saying I'm just a follower of God. And I'd rather follow Jesus and just let my life shine for the world to realize that God is truly in me, in contrast to these people who claim to love him but bear no fruit. So I'd rather just show my light, be like Christ. They say, what are you? I'm like, I'm just a follower of Christ. Are you a Christian? No, I'm not. I'm not with none of that religious foolishness you see on television. I'm not with the mainstream Christianity. I'm not winning none of that. I just go back to the original teachings of Christ and I follow him. I'm born again. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's it. All right. And that's what this is about. Now, you can call yourself a Christian, but I try to differentiate myself from the world, because most of the world, those who call themselves Christians, they just are the world. And I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be associated with that. So that's the origin of Christianity. It was never really called Christianity by us. It was just, we were just followers of Jesus. We're children of God. That's what we are. As a group, we were called the church or the ecclesia, the called out ones. The called out assembly. That's all we were. And we followed Jesus and did what he said. Then came Satan, who decided to destroy that, or try to destroy it rather, and persecuted us. It didn't work. And then he said, okay, let me try to join them. So he makes it law that everybody's supposed to be a Christian in Rome. This is the official religion. And then he mixes his teachings in with it. And a lot of Christians who were getting killed said, oh, okay, maybe we can get along with this. And they joined, and it messed up the movement. Now, there was a separation, because those who was really discerning, they left and said, this ain't something we want to be a part of. This is Satan. And so they broke off, but they were persecuted for that and killed. Okay? It never really stopped for the followers of God. They were always persecuted and killed. Okay? Just as we ain't killing no more. Yeah, you're not killing your form of a Christian. That's what you're not killing anymore. Because those who said, I reject this Roman Catholicism, I'm not accepting this amalgamation of Roman false god worship with the teachings of Jesus, I'm not taking it. They were killed. They were burned at the stake. You know, they were tortured and murdered. So this is the origin of this. And so when I give you this, I encourage you to look up for yourself. Do your own research into your origins. Do your research into the Protestant leaders. You know, John Calvin and his doctrine of Calvinism, how that's false. We got Martin Luther, all these different dudes. Look them up. See that this is what you're in right now if you're currently in this church system. And this is why we all messed up. This is why we have to have a series on church detox. Because what we were in was not good for us. It was filthy. It was polluted. Some people say that the church started off right and it got polluted. No, the righteous saints in the church always stayed pure. Okay, they just got spread out. Ended up in the wilderness, spread out. Okay, Satan created something new. Out of the teaching of Jesus, along with the mixture of the world. So this idea that, oh, you know, things just got dark and later on in life. No, no, no. Most likely, most of us grew up in a church that was not even of God to begin with. Most of us did. And like I said before, God allowed that to see if we really wanted him or this counterfeit Jesus. You know, and many of us chose the true God and we left those establishments. So that this is the origin. This is how it started. And this is where we're currently in, right? This is not of God to begin with. It's something else. And the true church is still out there. We're here. We just spread out, you know. We're in small groups now. We're underground, but we're still here. So that's all I got to say about that. Till next time, walk in the Spirit. You're not born again. If you haven't heard the gospel, read the gospel, accept it, and be born again and be blessed.